If Mark Rich were starting out today, what would he be doing?
He'd probably be trying to trade Russian, Iranian, Venezuelan oil, selling it to India and China. Those are the dodgy bits of the oil market where there is huge amounts of money to be made and which rely on having good connections and a willingness to bend or break the rules.
Now, somebody is doing that, plainly.
Lots of people are doing that. For the most part, not the principal characters of our book, because the principal characters of our book have become such enormous companies that they're too reliant on the US dollar system to risk falling foul of the US government. For the most part, that Russian oil flow, for example, Iranian oil flow, which is subject to even stricter sanctions, has gone into the hands of more shadowy traders. There's this new set of traders that has popped up in Dubai who changes name every few months, including sometimes because they get sanctioned by the US government, which is involved in trading a lot of the Russian oil. A lot of the Iranian oil gets traded or even bartered directly by Chinese companies and Chinese buyers, sometimes gets shipped via Malaysia, where it gets rebranded as Malaysian oil and then imported into China as Malaysian rather than Iranian oil.
There are political scientists who make the argument that sanctions often fail for a variety of reasons. Do they factor in what you're talking about right now, which is just that there are shadow dealers, essentially, who are finding ways to get around the sanctions?
One of the key arguments for why people say that sanctions don't work, particularly sanctions on things like commodities, because if commodities are produced, then as a rule, they tend to flow and they tend to find a market because they're fungible. It's quite hard to trace them. I wouldn't say it's universally true. For example, in 2012, when the US and Europe ratcheted up sanctions on Iran, Iranian oil production and exports did fall pretty substantially.